So one of the things last night that I'm going to open in prayer before I start, but one of the things that I said to the woman I was talking to was, she said, when I need something that's going to touch my heart, she said. So what you're talking about, because I was talking about many different things. We were talking about healing, we were talking about sin, we were talking about, we went all in last night. And so she says, well, how does that touch me now? And I said, one of the things that I pray before we speak is that God gives each person what they need. She went, oh, that's good. I said, because everybody who comes does not need the same thing. So that's my prayer for you today, that you get what you need, and that's how you walk away. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much, God, for bringing us together. We are so grateful to be in your presence, grateful for the conversations we have outside of this room and also in this room. Lord, be present. And as I've said, give us each what we need. And if we don't need it, Lord, just cast it to the side for us, or help us to store it away for later. But God, just be with each and every heart here. Speak to each one of us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we are talking about the healing of Bartimaeus. So I didn't say the healing of Bartimaeus as a title. I said the healing, because what we're going to learn is what happened. And how what happened with Bartimaeus is also what happens with us many times, or can happen with us when we notice the way that he walked through this. Okay. So I'm going to start by reading the scripture, which is in Mark 10, verses 46 through 52. This is before Jesus enters Jerusalem, actually. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. Okay, there was a large crowd and he was on the roadside. When he heard, say he heard, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him, "Be quiet." But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. Everybody say, "Jesus stopped." And said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet. He's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Amen. This passage is also found in Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34, and also in Luke 18, verse 35 through 43. And the reason I say that is because each of them, of course, adds something different to the passage that we're reading. And you'll miss it if you don't read the other passages, okay? So here's the setting. We're in the city. Mark reports that the miracle occurred on the way to Jericho, but in Luke, it says it occurred, wait, on the way out of Jericho. That's what that one said. In Luke, it says it occurred on the way to Jericho. People go like this, "What? This one says that and that one." Did you know that there were two Jerichos? And I didn't know that either. One was built by a king. One was built by a king. There was the old Jericho, like in the time of Joshua, and then a new one was built. They were about 15 miles from each other, or close enough that Jesus could have been leaving one of the old, is what scholars say, one of the old going into the other Jericho. So that little piece of information is very helpful. That means the Bible is not contradicting itself, and that these guys, he's telling his story and he's telling his, they are telling what they saw according, and you'll see that more in a second. They were 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. The old Jericho from the days of Joshua was mostly abandoned. The new Jericho built by Herod the Great was an attractive city and active. So remember that. It may be the miracle occurred, just like I said, on the way heading from one to the other. Now the crowd included the disciples and, in another version, they said a large crowd. They said a great multitude. That's important. A great multitude. I was talking last night. And she says, why is the great multitude important? Why would they say that? I said, I'll tell you in a second. Or she says, how does that apply to me? I'll tell you in a second. The multitude was likely greater because at that time, many of the Jews were on their way to Jerusalem to observe Passover. So truly a great multitude. So the blind man, Matthew reveals that it was actually two blind men. It wasn't just one. It was two, but Luke focuses on the account of a certain blind man, is what he says. But in Mark, he identifies him by name. And scholars say it's most likely because he knew him, because he could name him. So he didn't refer to the other. He referred to the one that he knew. So he was able to speak to that one. Bartimaeus sat on the side of the road begging. So remember, he's blind. He hears Jesus is coming. I don't know if they're whispering. I don't know if they're talking out loud. But if there's a great multitude of people, there's a lot of people talking. I can't imagine that the crowd was silent. All right. They're talking to each other. We're going to Passover. You know, they don't know Jesus is going to be crucified during that week. They have no idea. Learning that Jesus of Nazareth is walking by, he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is important. When he says son of David, he recognized his lineage, messianic. He recognizes who he is. So this blind man can see better than most than the scholars of that time, right? He could truly see and know who he was. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And many people tried to silence him. What's great about this? Is that when you think about you crying out to Jesus, has anybody ever tried to silence you? But he got louder. People have tried to discourage you or say, we've been praying for that for a while. But this guy said, I won't be quiet. I'm going to get louder. You cannot silence me because the Son of David is walking by. Do we get to that point or do we go, oh, I'm disturbing someone. Let me be quiet. No. And it wasn't just him. It was the other man too, crying out. And so when we talk about that multitude, crying out and talking over people that were walking by, it might be hard to hear him. So he had to be loud. He had to be loud. But imagine this. There had to be other people, maybe, crying out, saying something. And what I told my friend last night was, in the midst of all the prayers God hears, he hears yours. In the midst of all the voices that cry out, it's important for you to know, in the millions of people that are praying today, he is very aware of you, who you are, where you are, and what you need. That's why it's important to know there was a large crowd. And there had to be more than a few people who needed healing. But this is the one we're focusing on. This is the one we're focusing on. And as a matter of fact, this is the last healing before he goes into his walk for the week in Jerusalem. This is the last healing that is recorded. All right. The gracious part of all this. Jesus commanded for Bartimaeus to be called and brought to him. But I need you to notice that when he stopped, he stopped. He was walking. There was a great multitude. There were all kinds of people. And yet he hears his voice and he stops. On his way. That is what God does for you and me. When our cries reach him, he stops Bring him to me. Bring her to me. And then he asked the question. Oh, wait, I got to go back just a little bit. No, keep going. I'll get to that in a minute because there's so many good things in here that I never caught until I caught it. All right. He commanded he be brought to him. He said, be of good cheer. So now all of a sudden, everybody's on the guy's side. We were shutting him up just a minute ago, but now Jesus has paid some attention to you. So hold up. Be of good cheer. Get up. He wants to see you. He throws aside his garment. Please don't miss that. Because for fear that, you know, this is in the way. What have we got to throw aside to get to where Jesus is telling us to be when he says, come? This guy throws aside his garment. He jumps up and he goes to Jesus. Do you know what that is? That's obedience and faith. He not only knows who he's going to, but he's obedient to come to him. God said, come. So he did. What is God telling you to do? Tomorrow, God says, do the funeral on Friday. Be obedient. There will be something there for you. We are asking for healing. We are asking for all the different things in our life. Are we being obedient to what God is asking us to do? That was just so good for me. Throw that garment aside that's in your way, that's blocking you from getting to Jesus. That was big for me. And the obedience part was big for me. And then so he asked him, what do you want me to do? Well, can't you see I'm blind? What do you want me to do? So he had to speak the words. I want to be healed. Have we spoken the words? I want to be healed. I just think it's a great example. Have you been specific in what you need? I want to be healed. And again, he said, Rabbi, master, teacher, again, recognizing who he is. And Jesus said, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. In one of the other passages, one of the other epistles, he says he touched his eyes. He touched him. And then said, go on your way. And what does he do when he goes on his way? Immediately he receives his sight. He follows Jesus on the road and he glorifies God. He became a disciple. He just didn't take the healing and go, woo-hoo, I'm out. When you receive that kind of healing and you can actually go in your life and recognize times when you have been healed, times when prayers have been answered, have we forgotten those times? And we just went, woo, I'm out till the next time I need you, Lord. Or do you become a disciple and start walking with him? And what the great part about this is also in another, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me keep going. The people saw the miracle. And they started glorifying God. So they saw him healed. They start glorifying God. So God's receiving glory all over the place. When you're healed, when things happen, when you give credit to God, people see who God is and they start following or wondering. Like last night when I was talking to the lady, who is this you're talking about? Here's what we notice. Some observations. Here's what we're talking about in our prayer, in our needs. Persistence, number one, persistence. Bartimaeus, he displayed it despite the efforts of others to silence him. And persistence is a biblical principle from Jesus. So let's look at Mark 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. Four, it goes on to say, everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door is open. Thank you, Bartimaeus. Keep knocking. Knock, knock. Who's there? What do you need from me? Are we willing to be persistent in our prayers? Or do we give up when it hasn't been answered in the short amount of time or in our time frame? So I also love the persistence parable from Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. I just wanted to read it because I think these are valuable reminders. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in the town who kept coming to him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time, he refused. He refused. But finally, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." Excuse me. And quickly. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find this kind of faith on earth?" Faith on earth. That to me was powerful. And that leads us to the next thing. So there was persistence. And then Bartimaeus, faith. He had faith that it was going to happen. I'm telling you, sometimes we walk forward in a weakness in faith that we don't think he's going to do it for us, that it's not going to happen soon enough, that we kind of believe it, but we don't quite believe it. Bartimaeus was healed because of his faith, and Jesus saw this bold proclamation of faith and would not let it go unacknowledged. I'm telling you, there had to be other people crying out. But this guy, this one, let's recognize this faith right here. You're like, "Well, what can I do to have more faith?" Just trust and believe, right? Believe that he is the Son of David, that he is the great healer, that he is the just judge. That's what we should be believing. And it says in, let's look at 1 John. Do we have this kind of faith? 1 John 5:14 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us." Some people stop that if we ask anything, he will hear us. If we ask anything according to his will, Lord, is it your will that we have a new place before we leave here? I don't know. I can't speak for him, but I know I trust him. Do you? Do you believe he is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he will do? Now, I don't know what's going on in everybody's life, but I know that people are walking through some things in their life where they need to know and understand he will do what he said he will do. Walk in his will. That's what she said last night. I'm telling you, it was like Holy Spirit was moving. We talked about, she says, but like, I had to explain that when you walk outside the will of God, things in your own life, you wonder, why isn't that going right? Lord, why haven't you answered me? Why are my prayers only reaching the ceiling? It's because you don't believe who I am. You don't know me. You don't spend time with me, but you expect me to come. And sometimes I will answer in your desperation, but you are not walking with me. What are we doing? And then I didn't want to miss this part. There was also obedience. Obedience. He threw off the cloak that hindered him. He jumped up and did not delay. He believed something was going to happen. Do you believe that God is going to answer your prayer? the wonder. There has to be obedience with that faith. There has to be obedience with the faith. Are we lacking there? Am I lacking there? And then after it was all said and done, there was gratitude, thankfulness, praise. Hallelujah. Bartimaeus followed Jesus and he glorified God. And you think about it, it's like the Samaritan leper who expressed his gratitude. I had this one in there, but I think I'll just skip it for the sake of, now let's do it. It's in Luke 17. I think I had this one. Is it on the screen? Nope, I didn't. So it's the one that's real familiar. All the lepers got healed. Only one came back to praise. Only one came back to praise. Do we express gratitude for the many blessings God gives us? I think I put 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Oh, good. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a very familiar little passage for us. Rejoice, pray, give thanks. And then it says, can we get one more? Psalms 103 verses 1 through 4. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. I love that. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you will love. Wait, from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Can't forget. So here's what we see, finally. Bartimaeus, who many sought to silence, has much to teach us about persistence, faith, obedience, and gratitude. Much to teach us. The healing that took place. Now, it might be physical, it might be spiritual. He got it all in that day, because when God heals you, he will heal you completely. May the healing of blind Bartimaeus remind us to persist in our request of God. Don't give up, everybody. Don't give up. Don't stop. Develop the faith necessary to receive such requests. Throw off what hinders you and be obedient. And never fail to express your gratitude to God. So, because after that, that's when he tells us, you know, basically, go ye therefore into all the world, preaching the gospel unto everyone, letting them know what he did in your life, he will also do for them. People need to know that. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. It's good news. Bartimaeus brought us good news. I hope we have ears to hear. Amen.